Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome into our daily editorial. I want to talk about the level of tension that is existing in my neighborhood right now. I'm not sure this is this covers the total 1,800 homes in my neighborhood, but I know that it does cover for lack of better terms, my immediate neighborhood. People are not getting along. People are screaming at each other. I'm very, very emotional toward negative emotions towards each other. Jim, I want to talk about that. Is that you say it's not going on in South Carolina at all?
Well, I say it's very different. You know, my daughter has a friend who's visiting from Washington and talking about the tension and the frustration and the continued kind of oppressive feeling and the literal depression in people because of the continuation of you know, bad policies, lockdown, fear, and of course the political divide that's being created by, you know, the existing regime, you know, the people that are in power right now. And I think it's boiling over with gas prices, inflation, with tension, with lack of trust in the justice system, with fear that, you know, there's police won't come if you call 911. There's a tremendous amount of tension out there, and it is really hurting people, especially in those states where you have this type of progressive agenda that's dividing people. Out here in South Carolina, it's very different. People are communicating with each other. You know, Democrats and Republicans still respect each other. There is tensions always, and there are problems. There's no question. But I tell you, it is a completely different feeling. And everybody that comes out to visit, everyone that comes out and moves down here, and I'll tell you, they are moving in from Jersey, Connecticut, New York, by the busload, almost on a daily basis. You cannot find a house because of people from those areas, those democratically controlled areas that are moving down here because of the tension and the frustration. And of course, of where they lived before. Now, you know, they're coming down here. It's a lot more relaxed. There's, you know, kids are in school. You can still call police. You know, the government's actually working in their best interests rather than doing nothing at all for them.
When you say the government is doing nothing at all for them, I want you to direct that comment specifically about your own neighborhood. How is the government here doing nothing at all for any of us?
Well, so the, you know, and of course I lived there, was very involved in what was happening in the community and the politics, and the every aspect of local governance there is pushing against the customer, against the taxpayer, from the high tax rates to the building department giving you the no, and will not help you, the environmental decisions that are restricting anybody from basically from even growing, from putting water into a tank off one of the wettest places in the country. If you put a water bucket off of your drain pipe, you get fined for that. You can't grow food. They're taking away property from farmers. They are spending money, billions of dollars, to do culverts on the freeways for salmon runs, yet they're allowing this unbelievable control of the system to protect orca and allowing the salmon, like, they won't build any hatcheries. You know, it's just one thing after the other. They're depending on renewable energy, and 70% of the energy in Washington State comes from hydroelectric. And the progressives and the governor are trying to take down the hydroelectric dams. I mean, they're not working in the best interests of the people. They're working in the best interests of very specific groups that are politically powerful and have gained the upper hand in influence. And I think that's a huge mistake, and it's not really to the benefit of anybody in the local community.
Jimmy, I don't see any political gain from any of this. Where is the political gain and for whom?
Well, it worked very well in California. It works very well in Washington. When they pay off the Indian tribes and give them every benefit they possibly can and make them supersede the local government, then they get involved in politics. When the Teachers Association gets everything they want, teaching gender dysphoria to five-year-olds and just the crudest type of sexual innuendo in classrooms because of the policies that the teachers, you know, unions get, they get the benefit of the teachers union, which is getting those voters. And so you combine that with the gay lesbian community, combine it with a very liberal ideology, progressive ideology inside Seattle, you're seeing that it was successful over a long period of time to bring a coalition of these very disparate types of groups together in order to get them into power. Now, in the long term, I think it's negative, but the way they maintain power is by continuing to fund and resource these groups who are basically their foot soldiers to go out and get door to door and convince people that they need to vote Democratic. Or maybe, you know, a lot of people are questioning whether or not there's even legitimacy in the mail-in ballots in Washington State and whether you could win at all in Washington State because of the system being completely controlled by progressive Democrats and no one will question it. When they hold the levers of power, there's no one that's going to investigate. When they hold influence over the media, there's no public discourse over some of these questions. And unfortunately, it continues to decline. The support for the community and the individuals and the taxpayers that pay the funds for all this declines. But these organizations and groups gain power. There's no one to push back on it. And the law enforcement and the justice system is so corrupt right now and corrupted by these ideologies and influence. People are afraid to take action. It silences them. And you see a spiral out of control, which is exactly what's happened in every Soviet, communist, socialist state you've seen around the world, from the Soviet Union to Cambodia to all of Eastern Europe, to Venezuela, to Cuba. It's the same thing. Oppressive regimes, silencing voices, not working at the best interest of their people, but working in the best interest of their power.
I got to tell you, I don't understand what's going on, Jim. I hate to say that. I've been politically focused for basically my entire adult life, and I don't understand what's going on right now. The level of angst that is occurring in my neighborhood right now is frightening.
Yeah, it is, and it's happening throughout the country. But I'll tell you, it's being reflected very clearly in a lot of the polling. You know, the latest Civic poll shows that Biden's at about a 29% approval rating, the daily tracking poll. Yeah. A Gallup has a combined of about a 39 or 40%. And, of course, that's from May and June. Yeah. I don't know if the Gallup poll is accurate at all because it probably is skewed to big urban locations. But what you can see is people are very frustrated. One of the latest polls shows that the justice system in the United States is at the lowest ever rate of public approval and public support, which is terrible because that's the foundation of our government. But when you have Merrick Garland arresting people and holding them in prison for a year and a half now over the January 6th event, when there's ample evidence that says they were not even guilty, and what they were charging them with originally was like trespassing, and they've moved to the sedition, and they've got the show trials, and then they accuse parents of being domestic terrorists because they're complaining about what the school boards and these leftist progressive ideologues are doing to their children. You know, the taxpayers are calling domestic terrorists. When you're seeing the media compounding and jumping on board and calling out people and silencing their voices because they want to be able to speak freely. When you see complaints about COVID-19 being, threatening people with legal action, these issues are undermining the entire faith and trust in the justice system, which is the foundations of our nation, which is really putting us in a very dangerous position. The only thing that I can say, Al, and I am I'm feeling good about this a little bit, I mean, not feeling good about any of these things that are happening, but the reality is a lot of people that just didn't care or not involved are feeling directly the implications of these policies. And with that, they're becoming aware and awake of the corruption that's involved in Washington. And that means they will act, because they're not going to put up with $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon gasoline when we were the largest energy producer in the world just a year and a half ago. They're not going to put up with the continued violence in cities and the urban decline that's going on so rapidly. They're not going to put up with the education system being crushed by progressive ideologies. They're not going to put up with their daughters being forced to compete against transgender athletes that, that dominate the field. They're not going to put up with forcing soldiers, our soldiers, the defenders of this nation, to bow down to woke ideologies. The American public will not put up with it. And if they can't do it the majority is showing they are against these policies. And if for some reason the voting is corrupted, you will not be able to hide the anger. You'll not be able to cover it up. And that's the mistake the Democrats, this Democratic progressive regime, is making. They think they can hide this stuff from the American people. And they can for a certain amount of people, but they will not for the majority. And they will stand up. And thankfully, that's what this nation's all about.
Well, it's pretty scary what's going on, because I simply don't understand it. And what I don't understand, Jim, is, for lack of better terms, I guess I said it once before, I'll say it again, and that's called the level of angst. I don't get it. You explained it pretty well there, though, and I think that that's a very good point. Jim, we've been going for, about 12 minutes. Where do you want to go from here?
Well, I think, let's keep it real quick, but there's a couple of just really crazy things that have happened over the weekend. I mean, it's been a tremendously crazy couple of weeks with the shootings and the violence, the abortion protests and anger and the threats against Supreme Court justices.
Right.
But the Biden administration is continuing to decline in any credibility. They're losing their communications director. They're having tremendous turnover in the White House. They are not able to keep control of what's happening right now. They have started something that is going to burn them down. When the New York Times writes a piece saying that Joe Biden should not run because he's too old, you know you've lost support.
Yeah.
Even of the New York Times, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And people are just not going to put up with it. They don't trust the media. They don't trust the government. They don't trust the justice system. And you're going to see a decentralization back to a federalist type of system as we decentralize and divide. I think we will survive. I'm confident we will. But the other part of it is, you can't hide all the data if you lose the House and the Senate. You can't hide all the lies that the January 6th people put out.
Right.
This is the last thing I want to talk about. Hunter Biden, apparently, somebody hacked, 4chan people hacked his iCloud or his cloud storage. And some of the information on there, if in fact it's credible, and it looks like much of it is because it's video of him, is just unbelievably disgusting, beyond what was there before, which was terrible and awful, but then also is very clearly identifying some very serious issues that the Biden administration is going to have to deal with China and corruption. And I don't think they're going to be able to survive this. I honestly don't think that they can cover it up, especially after a November sweep by Republicans, if in fact this is not a corrupt system, completely corrupt system.
Hey, you guys, if you have any questions as to the specifics that Jimmy is talking about, come on the blog, ask, because Jimmy will address all of those, as will I. You got a big dog in the background, Jim.
Yeah, I do. Rex is a year-old German Shepherd, and he's really protective of my daughters. I like that.
I'll bet he is. Jim, thanks so much, bud.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.